Everyone that exalteth himself shall be humbled. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. To create is to make something ex nihilo. That's the Latin phrase that we use in theology. To create something out of absolutely nothing. To give being to something which previously did not exist except in the mind of Almighty God. And to create is to make something out of nothing by a simple act of the divine will. And so when we say at the beginning of the creed, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, we are saying that I believe that in the beginning, while there was still nothing, and when there was neither heaven nor earth, God, who exists from all eternity and was never made, called from nothing everything which exists today. And in so doing, we also confess that he did not require any sort of matter or instrument to make these things. He made it all, the stars and the sun and the moon, the grains of sand on the beach, and everything else. He made it all by a simple act of his will. A good analogy. They always fall short, analogies do, but a good analogy is this, that the general of an army says to his soldiers, march, and they march. The whole army marches. Turn, and the whole army turns. An entire army is put into motion by a single word of the general, of a man. But for God, he has only to will something to be, and it is. That is something to contemplate. Everything which God created was good and even perfect. It says in sacred scripture, he saw all things which he had made, and they were very good. But some of his creation far surpassed any of the others in excellence and perfection, that is, angels and men. And it is of the angels that I wish to speak to you today, being Angel Sunday. Now, we are not able to know precisely in what instant of creation God made the angels. Scripture does not mention it, when exactly it was, but they were certainly created before man, since Eve, as you know, was deceived by the devil in the Garden of Eden. Now, an angel, what is an angel? An angel is a pure spirit. What does that mean? Well, he has a high degree of intelligence. He doesn't need to reason things out, as far as I know, as we do. He knows things, and he sees right down to the bottom of things, and he knows if he acts this way, this is all that will happen. He sees everything perfectly, perfectly. An angel has no body, but in art, they're depicted as being very young. And this is symbolic. What does it symbolize? It teaches us that spirits do not grow old. That is why they're always depicted as young men. And they're depicted with wings. Angels, in reality, they don't have wings. So that is a mistaken notion that many of us do have, but they have no wings because they are pure spirits. But they're depicted with wings to show the speed and quickness with which they do all that God wills. And that's a lesson for us, how fast they are to come and do God's will. That is how we ought to be. when God sent Gabriel to see Our Lady, he didn't delay an instant. When you were conceived in your mother's womb, and God pointed out an angel and said to that angel, you are to look over this child from the moment of his conception to the day that he dies. You are to be with him. That angel went very quickly. It was God's will pointed out. Now, the angels were created, as you know, in the state of grace. They enjoyed already the friendship of Almighty God. They were given all of the grace that they needed to persevere in good and then to be confirmed in glory. You see, they were not created in the heaven of the beatific vision. They were not created in that heaven. Because if they already could see God face to face in the beatific vision, it would be impossible for them to have ever sinned. None of the angels would have fallen if they had already possessed the beatific vision. And so it is true that they were not created in the heaven where the beatific vision is. They were endowed with free will like us, and that is what sets us and the angels apart from the rest of creation, that we have been given an intellect and a free will to choose as we want, but that free will does not mean that we have the right to choose wrong. But we have the capability to choose wrongly, just as the angels did. They had to merit, the angels did, the happiness of being confirmed in grace before they could see Almighty God face to face. But you know that all were not faithful angels. Lucifer and his followers, they had the audacity to revolt against the good God who created them, and these were lost forever. Why is it? I think I've explained this before, that they only got one chance at salvation. And that we sin at least 7 times a day, Scripture tells us. We sin all this, these many times. And we get chance after chance after chance. And confession, confession, and confession. Why didn't the angels get such chances? Why were they cast into hell for all eternity when they committed only one sin? Well, it goes back to their knowledge. When they know something, they know it perfectly. They know it very well, and they see clearly the consequence of their action. So when the angels, when Lucifer sinned, he knew what he was doing. He saw perfectly that if he revolted against God, that he would be cast into hell for all eternity, and he saw it clearly. But his pride was so great that he did it anyway. And now, from an angel of light, he's become a hideous demon. He said, and this is from Scripture, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars, and I will be like the Most High. But see how the gospel is today. See how God treats those that want to exalt themselves. Lucifer wanted to be like God, and he was hurled into the bottom of the abyss. He wanted to reach the very heights, and he was plunged into the very depths. And that is how God will always treat those prideful souls. That too should be a lesson for all of us. Now, it's a teaching of all the authors that the air between heaven and earth is filled with bad angels. Our wrestling, St. Paul says, is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the world of this darkness, against the spirits of wickedness in high places. So the earth is filled with demons. The demons hate us with a hatred that no human could ever imagine. And it is all because jealousy eats at their proud hearts. They know that we men are to attain the very thrones in heaven that they had lost. Going back to the first sin of Lucifer, what was it all about? Well, there's different opinions on this. One of them is this, that God revealed to the angels that man would fall and man would need a redeemer, and that God would become a man in order to redeem mankind, and that the angels would then have to adore the human nature of Christ. In their pride, they could not bend the knee to the human nature of Christ because, as they would say, human nature is far beneath the dignity of the angelic nature. And it is. But that is how prideful they were. And so now they would not bow to the human nature of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now what happens? They have to watch their thrones that they lost being filled by men. What a humiliation for Lucifer and his followers. But you see how God works. But these bad angels spare no pain. They continuously labor to wrestle us from God, to drag us to hell. We know that they are full of cunning and malice. But they can tempt us all they want. But they can never force our will to do anything. St. Augustine says that the devil is like a chained dog. He can bark, but he cannot bite any, except for those who go near him and rashly expose themselves to his teeth. It's a very powerful, very good quote from St. Augustine. Their hatred for us is terrible. Their envy is great. Their power is so much greater than ours, yet they cannot harm us. They cannot harm our souls as long as we resolve to live well, to keep ourselves and our children from bad influences, to place our confidence in God, and if we follow the counsel of the good angels who remain faithful to Almighty God. Now, while the bad angels, on the one hand, try to make us lose heaven, the good angels do all in their power to help us. Keep in mind, too, that every house, every church, every city has its own guardian angel. Milwaukee's got its own special angel. This church has its own special angel. Each of your homes has its own special angel. When you leave on long trips, put the angel in charge, watching over the house. And certainly you know that each of us has been given a guardian angel to watch us, to watch out for us. The angels were created not only to praise and adore God in heaven, but also to minister to us who are working out our salvation still. See the goodness of Almighty God and the value of a soul. He's thought of everything. Everything that it would take to get us to heaven, he has thought of it and given it to us. The sacraments, grace, the church, an angel who watches by our side every moment of the day and of the night. See the goodness of God. And the love of these angels for us is great, as is their care over us. Why? Well, first of all, think again of the weans. It was the will of God that your angel was sent to you. He is yours and no one else's. He will never belong to anyone else after you die. And before you were born, he never belonged to anyone. He is your angel and yours alone. And his love for you is great not only because it was God's will that he protect you and look over you, but because God loves us. And because the angel saw all that God had done for our souls in the redemption, and saw, if God loves this soul to do this much, then I must love this soul. And he will do all that he can to save our immortal souls. The angels, they're already certain of one thing, that they are saved, that they are in heaven. Their only, you might say, concern is for you and for me. Their charges. They have no uneasiness but for us. We are their concern. But constantly they help us. How do they help us? By warning us, kind of pricking at our conscience sometimes. That is from the angels. For giving us a good and holy inspiration to do something good. They pray alongside us. They pray for us. They take our prayers to the very throne of God. And they avert so many dangers, both material dangers and spiritual dangers. They avert so many that we will never know how many times we've been saved from some mortal sin, from some terrible car accident, or an airplane accident for that matter. We will never know how many things they saved us from until Judgment Day. And then all the actions of the angels for us will be revealed. And then we will see truly the goodness of God. So as you think of this phrase, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, never forget the invisible world that he made. And as you walk down the streets today, or drive down the freeways, think of all the angels that are there present. The ones watching over the buildings, the ones going by, watching over their charges in their car, your own angels in your car. Greet them, speak with them, trust them, show great respect for their presence by avoiding in their presence whatever might offend them in any way, shape, or form. And then, above all, think of the goodness of God in entrusting your soul to one of his angels, one of his most powerful of angels, who is yours and yours alone, that bespeaks the goodness and the love of God, our Creator and our Redeemer. And we should thank Almighty God for these holy angels. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.